Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and it is February the 6th, as I know it to be, although my atomic clock, after my rant last night, is now showing January the 14th. And this is the super technology of the clock that only loses 1 second, what, every 3,000 years or something like that. They've lost a few weeks, almost. Well, let's say about 3 weeks. That said, before we bring on tonight's guest, I want to bring you up to date with some news. Of course, a lot of people voted today in 22 states across the United States of America, and the election returns are not surprisingly favoring Hillary Clinton. Of course, we have mentioned on past shows that the Bilderberg Group determined last year that they were going to go ahead and promote Hillary Clinton, that she was the one that had to move into the White House, most likely so they could continue the rampant, and I do mean rampant, economic and financial corruption that's going on, not just in Washington, D.C., but through the New York banks, in particular Citibank, Morgan Stanley, Wachovia, Bank of America, and hundreds of other banks around the world that are participating in money laundering. So it's in their interest to get her in, since she's one of the players in this whole fiasco. And before I go into more on that, I want to discuss for a moment Albert Howard's recent letter, which I posted on my website, directlightproductions.com, on the news page. And it is a letter to the Secretary of State of New Hampshire, Mr. William Gardner. He says, "Dear Mr. Gardner, during each of the last 3 days, the recount has had to go into sleep mode for hours at a time, waiting for the next batch of ballots to arrive from one or more of the towns. In response to my 'Where are the ballots?' questions, you have been telling me you lack the resources required to retrieve the ballot boxes more quickly from the outlying towns. Also, in response to my request to begin counting the uncast ballots that are showing up in many of the ballot boxes, you said you needed 10 days to pull the information together. Obviously, you misunderstood my request. There is nothing to be pulled together. Either uncast ballots are in a ballot box or there are none. If there are any in a box, I would like them counted, and if there are none in a box, I would like to have that noted on the certified tally sheet for that ballot box. It is unimaginable why any legislative body, state or local, and or any chief election official would not insist on a strict accounting of all ballots, used or not. I find your response to these issues acceptable. The longer it takes to retrieve and count the ballots, more time is available for someone to tamper with the evidence. Recount delayed is recount denied. These latest delays come on top of the long delay caused by your decision not to start the Republican recount until after the Democrat recount and your failed attempt to recess the recount for 2 days last week. As you know, 40% of the Democratic recount was completed in approximately 4 business days. The Republican recount has taken 9 business days to complete approximately 60%. There is no acceptable reason for this work slowdown. As we have discussed, delays harm not only the public interest, they take a heavy financial and personal toll on me and the observers. The public is harmed in 2 ways. First, a delay in the publication of my final report on the results of the recount, including the performance of the vote counting machines, means less time is available for the people and governments elsewhere to take the report into consideration as they prepare for their primaries and the general election. Second, and God forbid, delay in counting the cast and uncast ballots allows uncertainty additional time to use uncast ballots to bring the recount vote totals in line with the illegitimate rigged machine totals. The distinct possibility is heightened by the fact that one private company has programmed all machine memory cards in the state and quickly collected and removed from the state all machine memory cards immediately after the voting period ended on primary day. The condition of the ballot boxes and their seals has only added to our concern that something untoward is behind the repeated delays. Once more, I need to remind you that time is of the essence. Recount delayed is recount denied. Very truly yours, Albert B. Howard. Now, I'd like to point out that Mr. Howard is running for the presidency of the United States of America, and he notified a large group of people, not just his supporters, yesterday, which was his birthday, by the way, that he had plans to move his family to New Hampshire to really stay on top of this, what appears to be massive election fraud. He paid $55,000 and should get a speedy recount. After all, Dennis Kucinich only paid $2,000 and was able to enact 40% of the recount with $2,000. Certainly, Mr. Howard has more than paid for a total recount, and yet now we are well past the initial 20-day stalling period and closer to 30 days of this corruption. And yet they have kept the results from the public, obviously trying to not hinder other primaries that are going on around the country. The proportion of votes that Ron Paul is getting is drastically less than what any of the exit polls show. Much has been the case in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Florida. To me, it just reeks to high heaven. And if I had a 10-foot pole, I would probably just want to flush all the ballots down the drain. I made a suggestion on another talk show this evening that a solution to this problem simply could be something as simple as a receipt. In fact, I mentioned that during my rant yesterday. You could go to the grocery store and purchase a pack of gum or a candy bar or a bag of potato chips and get a receipt at the store. Why is something so important as a presidential election not afforded the same convenience? In fact, it would be a good check and balance so that if there was any dispute, all one had to do was present the receipt for the votes that they cast. Simple as that. Now, in addition to that, on the same web page, and I'm speaking about my news page, go to directlightproductions.com. I issued a national press release. Actually, you could call this an international press release. And I did talk about Wantagate, and I did talk about the massive corruption that's going on. Hillary Clinton is directly involved, and I am going to make this a mission, along with others, to expose this to the general public. We have a duty to do that, and I specifically referenced my obligation or anyone's obligation who is aware of corruption under misprision of felony, which is section Title 18, Section 1, Paragraph 4, which states specifically that anyone with knowledge of a crime has a duty to report it. In this case, this is a felony. It's not the only felony that Hillary Clinton has committed, and she's not the only one committing these felonies, by the way. However, it should immediately disqualify her from running for the presidency, and there should be a full-scale investigation underway. Now, I was informed this evening that there is some judiciary hearings going on in regard to the massive court corruption in Chicago, in particular the case of Michael Lynch and his stolen Longview Aluminum and McCook Metals, and the giving away of this company at bargain basement prices to Alcoa Aluminum that has many contracts overseas in building armored vehicles. And this is it's an incredible scandal that the people at the highest places in our government are behind this theft of his company and the disbursement and bribery of judges and attorneys and corporations. And we are going to stay on top of this, and we're going to push to have this disclosed. I urge you to go to my site again, directlightproductions.com. Look at some of the newest postings. Spent quite a bit of time today putting this stuff up, and hopefully it's going to make the rounds on the Internet very quickly. With that, I would like to bring tonight's guest on board. He has been on Evident Footprints numerous times. We're going to talk about a lot of different things tonight, but we'll start with this topic, and I would like to introduce to those new listeners out there a very good friend of mine, a very wise spiritual man. He is an herbalist. He is a health practitioner of sorts, and in that he can advise people about natural foods and holistic medicine and spiritual matters equally as well. And he's very popular on many shows that he has appeared on as a guest caller. And tonight he is our special guest on Evident Footprints, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you this evening?
Hi, good evening, Don. Doing well, and thanks for that very nice intro, Don.
Oh, I don't know if it was nice or not. I'm just telling the truth.
I'm blushing here. I'm flattered.
You're blushing. Okay. I'll take your word for it. You're in trouble when we go live on camera, you know, when we start using the webcams. So you got to tell the truth then.
Yes, well, definitely I appreciate that very much. Thanks, Don.
Well, you heard my little remark about my atomic clock. Isn't that interesting that I did a story on how the clocks can't keep time? And we had a thunderstorm pass through, and for whatever reason, the thunderstorm set the clock back 3 weeks.
Has it ever happened before?
No, I've never seen that before. No.
That's what's so strange.
And basically 24 hours ago, I had remarked that there were things going on. And, you know, there are supernatural changes taking place all over the universe.
Yes.
And basically they're related to the fact that the planet is being bombarded by light, and that's going to dispel the darkness. And
that's right.
And their inventions and their machines are going to fail. And, you know, the clock's working great. It's got batteries and everything's all lit up, but it's the wrong date.
So.
So I know you have your own take on what's happening, you know, first of all, what do you think about some of this news that I brought out?
I'll start off backtracking to the Alcoa, and just not to leave out the fact that they are also the source of our wonderful fluoride that's in all our drinking water. So let's thank Alcoa for that toxic waste material that they generate from aluminum manufacturing, and have us all drink it in our municipality water. Aside from that, Don, well, you know, what can you say? They're all crooks, the Clintons. What's so scary about this election coming up is that the Americans could be asleep enough to not realize that we've had a Bush, then a Clinton, then a Bush, and then what? Another Clinton, and you still think you're free? You still think you got a constitutional republic going on here?
Yes, you're very right. You know how I feel about television, and I think for all of 5 minutes I had CNN on tonight just to see what the balance of the vote percentages were going to be. They're already forecasting Hillary Clinton as winner in many states across the country. And I expected that. We already said that they were intending to make her the president, and it's not by any great popularity that she carries. Strictly a fudged vote.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly.
You know, Don, and that's another great point, bringing this up as you're covering it with the voting machines. You know, the only countries that employed electronic voting were communist countries. And that's another one where, come on, Americans, I mean, only communist countries employ electronic voting machines because it's all rigged. And if you don't have a paper trail like Don is saying, then they're going to be able to just fake us out every time.
Well, we have an Israeli company running these machines. And isn't that ironic? You know, in relation, and I mentioned this Wantagate story, I mean, the financial corruption is directly related to these countries. We have issues that go back into the 1960s, such as the bombing of the U.S. Liberty, and or is it the USS Liberty, I guess?
Yes, that's right.
And the fact that Israel was at fault, and and really Lyndon Johnson was complicit in it. He was ordering them to stand down and to permit it to happen, and had made statements to the effect that, you know, he wanted that ship sunk. Many lives were lost, and interestingly, one of the candidates who's running for president, John McCain's father, was part of the investigation into that fiasco.
You mean the one-week-long deep investigation?
Yes, that's the one. And his father was an admiral, as was his grandfather. Now, what's interesting about the three, you would say, one would say, oh, these are war heroes. Yet there's plenty of information surfacing that all three were at the bottom of their class at Annapolis. McCain's father eventually became an instructor at Annapolis upon retirement from what would you call it, war duty, active duty in that sense. He still retained as an instructor. Also, there are numerous stories, and I found quite a few of them on the web, where some of the POWs who were prisoners along with John McCain mentioned that there were long periods of time where he would disappear from the sight of the other prisoners. And his excuse was that he had been put into solitary confinement, that he had been tortured and was in solitary. Yet there were also those coming forward with information that he had been given an apartment and was serviced by two prostitutes, and that he was well-fed, and he was seen traveling around with a Vietnamese general getting out of a limousine, going into restaurants.
Wow.
And then this is the warmongering president that is saying, yes, we're going to be at this war for another 100 years. Well, not if we can help it. We won't be.
Amen.
And with God's help, we won't be. And these people won't be around to see it.
Amen to that. You know, one thing's for sure. We've had with the Bush, then the Clinton, then the Bush, all a bunch of cowards that would never, ever put themselves on the front line, and yet just sending our boys and girls abroad in all these UN foreign skirmishes to serve the UN One World government scheme. And, Don, that is so just outrageous to me, because how they have such disregard for the lives of these American youth and putting them in all these jeopardies to ruin their lives for nothing that would be defending our country. And all those guys that are doing these supposed commander-in-chiefs that we've had, bunch of cowards. They're all cowards.
Well, you know, you remind me of the corruption, and when I just contemplate the thought of Hillary Clinton getting into the presidency, and, you know, this will complete a cycle of 36 years, should she stay in there for 8 years.
It's amazing.
it's beyond comprehension.
Yes, it is.
That this could even happen, that it would even be possible. But let's look at the fact that in the Wantagate story, she is known to have withdrawn massive amounts of money from the Bank of Crozier in Grenada in the West Indies, And that on one occasion when she made a withdrawal of $5 million, the cameras were turned off inside the bank. Yet, supposedly, either FBI or CIA agents have her photograph entering and leaving the bank. Now, a particular interest in this whole thing is the fact that Martha Stewart went to jail because of a $50,000 profit. And yet Hillary Clinton at one time made a $1,000 investment and got $100,000 return.
That's right.
Then there was Whitewater. Then there was the Madison Guarantee scandal, let's say, where they were giving themselves loans through the bank for political campaigns. And Lord knows what else. They were dealing drugs in MENA, Arkansas, and that is well documented. There is a list of hundreds of people who have been murdered under the Clinton body count. And last night I told people to Google that term, the Clinton body count, and read about all the people who would be the least likely to die under the circumstances they did, except for one thing in common, and that was that they all worked for the Clintons at some point and knew personal information, either about their finances, their sexual habits, or their drug use.
That's right.
Now, Hillary was the reputed lover of Vince Foster, even though it's widely known, and not just alleged, but known, and this is not a conspiracy theory, that she is a homosexual and that she has lesbian lovers. And Secret Service agents have reported ad nauseum about that fact, that they have walked in during making their rounds in the White House, walked in on escapades that she was involved in. When Kenneth Starr conducted the investigation, he was the special prosecutor appointed by President Clinton. He swept everything in the rug, under the rug. First of all, they know that there were satellite photos of his murder near a White House parking lot. They know that, and they know that his body was transported to Fort Marcy Park, where it was found. Now, how the man drove himself there after supposedly committing suicide near the White House is beyond me. There are anomalies in how they moved the body and the wounds that were found and the guns that were found there. The whole investigation was a sham, and one reason why, and this is not disclosed, Vince Foster gave Hillary Clinton $250 million that he had picked up with the cooperation of Ambassador Leo Wanta in Lausanne, Switzerland. And when Foster returned to the United States and gave her that money, it was shortly after that he was murdered. And I'm not going to say committed suicide because the evidence shows that he was murdered. Mm-hmm. Is it a coincidence that Kenneth Starr, who was the special prosecutor appointed by her husband, was also the legal counsel for the Children's Defense Fund, where she claimed this $250 million was going. And according to Ambassador Leo Wanta, that was undercover, an undercover Navy SEAL project. Likely it had to deal with drugs and drug smuggling or drug transportation. What is your take on that information?
Well, my goodness, where do you start? First of all, no accountability for these crooks, how they get away with murder, mayhem, breaking all the laws that we're forced to abide by. The fact that there's no accountability for these clowns at the federal level and the state and local levels, that is one thing that annoys me to no end, Don, because, you know, we love to see justice. And, boy, it's long overdue for these traitors. And with respect to, the Vince Foster case, surely while they were moving his body, that's the time interval where Hillary Rotten Clinton was breaking into his office and ransacking all the evidence that could have been used and totally destroying it. And, again, nobody's got a problem with that. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Well, I find it very synchronistic that I decided to write this story. Actually, I had penned a version of it a couple of months ago, but the developments in Wantagate were unfolding so rapidly, I decided to hold off on it, and I added a couple of paragraphs to it and rephrased some of my statements based on new evidence that was appearing. And again, the media reports nothing about this. They have been notified, and basically this piece that I wrote is a press release to fulfill my obligation to report what I'm aware of, and that this is a crime. And anyone who reads this also is aware of it.
Yes, Don. Well, you know, one thing's for sure. You've been on top of this story for quite a while. And it looks like it definitely has legs. In the beginning, nobody really thought it did because it wasn't breaking out anywhere else. But it's unraveling. You know, clearly this is unraveling. And they're trying to keep it all contained the best they can. But this might be the big one that's going to do them in eventually, Don, because they just, it's too big for them to really, I think, handle it eventually, ultimately.
Yeah. Well, Christopher Story's not backing down. He's received death threats. He's had his storefront windows smashed. They've been able to identify it. In fact, this person was sent in by the Clintons, according to him. He's of Irish extraction, and of course, he notes that they also, the Clintons, have Irish passports, that if they have to flee, we don't have an extradition treaty with Ireland. Many of these CIA agents and bankers that are fleeing justice because of this corruption, which is being exposed, are heading for Ireland.
Mm-hmm. I guess all the snakes are going to be back in Ireland again.
Yeah. you better count your lucky charms, right?
Going to have to get St. Patrick back out on this one soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, you know, we're looking at spiritual warfare here. These are very dark times, and I don't mean to focus on the negatives, other than to bring this awareness to people. And this was the crux of my message last night. I don't know. I presume you probably didn't get to hear my show last night because I know you had some other obligations that you had to take care of.
At the very end, though.
But I basically just spilled my guts to tell people, look, if you're going to vote for somebody, know something about these people. And that's been my mission, to bring the truth out about a lot of these topics. These are unsavory topics, and I would rather be talking about spiritual growth and raising our consciousness. And in a way, this does raise your consciousness.
It's all related.
If you can confront it and deal with it.
Yes.
And go ahead.
Sorry, Don. I was just going to say that everyone on right now in our world, in our lives, is all related to higher, stimulating higher consciousness.
Yes. Now, since we're talking about really what's amounting to spiritual warfare, because these people are Satanists. In fact, if anyone doubts that, again, on my website and also at rents.com, Dr. Henry McCowell actually published some pictures of the Clintons at a political rally very recently, where Chelsea Clinton is wearing an upside-down cross. Bill Clinton has the all-seeing eye of Osiris as a pin attached to his tuxedo jacket, yeah, near the lapel. And they have this image of Hillary from behind a backdrop in the photo, but it's actually the right side of the auditorium where this rally took place. And the American flag is covering almost half of that wall. It's a huge flag. And what's interesting is someone took the time to re-embroider the stars upside down so that you have two points pointing upward, sort of like horns on the devil. And it's quite obvious that there's a lot of subliminal satanic symbolism in those photos. They are Satan worshipers.
Well, you know, Don, it's more than subliminal now. With those three photos, it's just now becoming very arrogantly shoving it in our face as to, hey, this is what we're all about, and there's nothing you can do.
Exactly. But there is something we can do about it.
That's right.
So,
time is coming.
Well,
and speaking of the commie Clintons, they were just in our backyard 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Bill was here a couple of this weekend in Cleveland. He was having dinner, and they were talking about how he was holding up traffic and his little entourage of SUVs moving around. He was at a $2,500 a plate dinner, and if you only wanted hors d'oeuvres, it cost $1,000. What a bargain.
Yeah, well, that's just to be in a pleasure his company, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and while I was listening to that, I was contemplating, actually I was running, reminiscing about a conversation I had with Peter Paul. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Absolutely. He was pardoned, right? Wasn't he pardoned, one of the pardons by Clinton?
No. Peter
Paul.
Oh,
that's Rich, yes.
Yeah, you're thinking of Mark Rich. Peter Paul, no relation to Ron Paul, is sort of a media mogul, but of his own making. First of all, he started out as an attorney. When he was about 26 years old, he was set up by the machine over a coffee deal that had to do with Fidel Castro. And he was going to take advantage of Castro, and they tried to charge him with trading with the enemy. That didn't work, so they set him up by planting drugs in his garage. And he went to prison for that. Now, unbeknownst to him, 30 minutes after the drugs were planted there, they came and arrested him. So it was obviously a setup. He took his lumps, he did the jail time, and got out and started a media company. And with $500,000, he was able to raise the value of the company up to about $300 million in a very short amount of time. And he had recruited Stan Lee, the Spider-Man author, to his company, and he had designed to get Bill Clinton to act as a public relations person to add international interest and intrigue to the company. Smart move if it would work. He threw a big event for the Clintons. Actually, when he approached Bill about paying him for this, Bill suggested he donate to Hillary's campaign. And this was her 2000 senatorial campaign. So he donated $1.2 million to the campaign. She did not report the money.
She declared it.
Yes. And so one of her people took a fall, and my understanding is that somebody that managed the finances in her campaign went to jail under a 15-year sentence, and yet Hillary, on the basis of lying in her deposition, saying, well, the president would have told me if he had been recruited by Peter Paul, he would have told me, and I would have known about that, but since he didn't tell me, it mustn't have happened, and since it didn't happen, I wouldn't know anything about it. On that ridiculous testimony, the judge threw it out with reasonable doubt. Since she didn't know that, she couldn't have known it because the president didn't tell her, and since she didn't remember him telling her, you know, it's the same thing as Clinton during his Paula Jones deposition, where he said, I don't recall, I don't remember, my memory fails me there, I don't seem to remember that happening. 2.5 minutes straight.
Yeah, well, Coke does that to you when you do it all the time, I heard.
Mean the drink, right?
That's correct. But for his commie wife, I thought she was the smartest lady in the country. How could she have such memory problems all of a sudden?
Well, you know, this one would think, well, this is a he said, she said kind of case.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the criminal case was basically thrown out of court, he has a civil suit against her, and in a matter of days now, he's going to be facing her in court. He's got lots of videotape. of her admitting to this and speaking quite openly about knowing and having received this money, thanking him, alluding to it, talking about what a wonderful program he was putting together, where he had invited many famous recording stars, Cher, Paul Anka. There were other people being subpoenaed, such as Barbra Streisand, Brad Pitt. It's a who's who of famous people that are coming to this trial.
They're keeping that trial quiet in the Rockefeller.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, she's obviously committed numerous felonies on this videotape, and 60 Minutes recently did a story on this. And still, they're keeping it under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking about it, where this should immediately disqualify her. But the powers that be, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Israeli Mossad, all of the intelligence communities and these secret organizations that basically run the shadow government, or are the shadow government, are all making sure that this gets swept under the rug and that nobody knows about it.
Well, they started grooming her, Don, as soon as her commie husband had to step down from a second term. And, of course, the strategy was to become a senator somewhere to give her some kind of credibility as a politician. And, of course, they carpet-bagged New York State for that. And they moved up here, and all of a sudden they're New Yorkers and cleaned right up and got elected right off the bat. That's all fast-tracking. That's Rockefeller all the way, making it all happen. And, of course, never had an intention to run for president. She just wanted to help us lucky New Yorkers to have her.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, us New Yorkers outside of New York City would love to throw a rope around a tree limb and just see her swamp. But aside from that, that was the initiative, and that was the story. No intention of running for president. Oh, no, no, no. And look how fast, bam, 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 here we are. She's cleaning up with the electronic voting to be their nominee. This is all by design for the last 8 years. And by the way, I made that call 8 years ago. And I thought her husband was going to be the head of the UN at the same time, but he couldn't swing that one. They did try it, but he couldn't pull it off. And but sure enough, here she is coming in for the presidency, and 8 years ago, even Alex Jones didn't believe it.
Yeah, and you know, when you take into consideration Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey, whose husband had just died and may have been murdered by them, in fact, because of what he knew, And Monica Lewinsky, and I can't remember the blonde's name, the famous newscaster from
Jennifer Flowers.
Jennifer Flowers, that's right. And countless others that he had been cavorting with. It was obvious that he was a playboy. Now, we've had other presidents, but The thing was, he was denying it, even though he had gotten caught red-handed. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for the blue dress and the semen stains, he'd have gotten away with it. And basically, he did it anyway.
Yeah,
and that points to the level of corruption that has permeated the Congress
over
the years.
Yes, sir, Don. And in addition, that was all a cover-up. Lewinsky was a opportunity to cover up the real crime that Commie Clinton was perpetrating against the people of the United States, and that was taking money from the Communist Chinese government. He's accepting money, which is totally treason under the Constitution, for any of our representatives to accept money from a foreign government. That's high treason. And so he was doing that because he was giving them under the table military technology that was going to be used against us in the future. Isn't that just a wonderful, nice president? And that the Lewinsky affair with the impeaching and all that was to cover up the real impeachment evidence that should have hung him right on the spot, dealing with communist governments, taking money from them, and doing business with them. That's what he got away with.
Yes. Now, it's also alleged that Monica Lewinsky was actually a Mossad agent, that she was trained by the Israeli Mossad to do exactly what she did, to put Clinton in a very compromising, I don't want to use the word position. So let's say, because we're talking underneath the desk of the
right.
of the Oval Office there, you know. But in an embarrassing and a blackmailable situation.
Right.
And then at the same time, you remember the name of a young lady who was originally from Cleveland, Ohio, whose family moved out to Southern California, by the name of Chandra Levy?
Yes.
Sure. You remember her, okay? And they found her remains, we'll say.
In a park.
In a park, not too far away from where Vince Foster was found, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And Chandra Levy worked for the Bureau of Prisons and had some information that she was about to come out with. Of course, she was the mistress of Gary Condit, if
right.
you remember Gary Condit,
sure,
from California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a wave of coincidences that really, if you take a piece of string or let's say a needle and thread, you can tie these together. Gary Condit was being investigated by one of the federal prosecutors who were fired. One was named Carol Lamb. She was investigating Condit and that whole fiasco. And we're talking about big political payoffs and what these people were really hiding. So she was on to something that Chandra Levy had been murdered to cover up, or you know, to prevent from coming out. In other words, you have so many scandals with these people. I mean, the Bushes are the same with the Jack Abramoff scandal and the and the Scooter Lewis Libby scandal. Or I should say Lewis Scooter Libby, although his first name is Irving, I understand. Mm-hmm. And again, Israeli connection there.
Oh.
All of these people have connections to the Consul in Foreign Relations, Henry Kissinger and the Vatican, and the Israeli intelligence agencies. And they're working hand-in-hand with the Dachau DVD, which is the continuation of the underground SS in Dachau, Germany, which George H.W. Bush heads. Now, why is it so hard for people to lock on to this? As much as we've talked about it, and you've heard me on other shows, on the Patriot Networks especially, talking about these things, ad nauseum. And I guess it just, you know, it's like a TV commercial. You got to say it at least seven times before people start to pay attention.
Yes, it's unfortunate, Don, but these are stories and topics that are a little too deep for the average American mind today because they're so conditioned by the boob tube and also mainstream radio, all emanating out of Rockefeller Center. Nonetheless, serious issues. What amazes me, Don, over the years is how Americans don't catch on to Henry Kissinger, who's really Heinz Kissinger, and you say Heinz Kissinger, boy, that just doesn't have an American sound to it, or Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, that just doesn't quite sound American apple pie. You know, it's like I used to question years ago, these guys are commies. What the heck are they doing in our government?
Yes, and you know, now you brought up Brzezinski, for example. He's a member of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And when I had come across a WANTA memo to Dick Cheney, while WANTA was supposedly in prison in Oklahoma, he's writing to Dick Cheney telling him about a meeting that's going on in the Philippines. So even though he was incarcerated, they still had him operating or supervising transactions. Now, why would you have a man that in prison that raised $27.5 trillion to go into the U.S. Treasury? Why would you put him in prison? Well, obviously to silence him, right? And to keep him out of the way while you raided the bank accounts.
just surprised they didn't actually, and thank God they didn't, but, you know, really terminate him.
Well, they tried several times, but by the grace of God, he survived.
Okay,
now, when he mentioned to Bill Clinton certain issues about $18 billion that were in his briefcase, he had a briefcase as his official, or in his official capacity as ambassador from Somalia to Canada and Switzerland. He was to invest these $18 billion in high-value notes into some projects on behalf of the Somalians. Do you remember Bill Clinton allowing all of these attacks on our bases in Saudi Arabia and
sure,
you know, throughout the Middle East?
Sure.
And he did nothing about them. Nothing.
But he dragged us right into Somalia.
They bombed Somalia, though, didn't they?
That's
as if
right.
to say, this is how we're going to take care of you. They had Wanta in jail, and they were going after the money. Now,
you know, now that all makes sense why we went in there.
Yes. Now, there's a tie to Brzezinski, and I'm glad you brought his name up, because as a member of the CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, they have a member by the name of Ilona Teleki. Now, she's written numerous papers on how they should resolve these international disputes and open up communications with other countries and these sort of things. These are very almost nebulous kind of papers, just to I call it posturing. It's just to give these people some credibility.
Sure.
But there's a Madam Teleki mentioned in this memo from Wanta to Cheney while Wanta's in prison, taking place November 1st of 2001. We're talking about less than 2 months after the World Trade Center and the Pentagon attacks, and I use that word attack with reservation. He's talking about the families wanting their boxes. He's talking about one of bin Laden's lieutenants, Datu Ben Abu, being there. In fact, he uses the comment, there's lots of Datus there. In other words, they're asking for lots of weapons, they're asking for money, they're asking for computer software, and in particular, they're asking for Red Mercury and Stinger missiles, Chinese Stinger missiles. Now, the person who was supposed to facilitate this transaction was this Madam Teleki. And I wrote about this in my Wantagate article from January of 2007. I came to the conclusion it wasn't Ilona Teleki, probably a relation to Ava Teleki, who comes from an aristocratic Hungarian family. Out of nowhere, a couple of days ago, in fact on Sunday, Christopher Story wrote an article alluding to the fact that Ava Teleki was known as the person making the payoffs to the conspirators in the London train and subway bombings and the bus bombings.
Wow.
All of these people tie into Wantagate. She was seen in the Philippines. She's seen now in London making payoffs in regard to these so-called terrorist bombings. It's becoming obvious what's going on here. See, we're connecting the dots and we're putting the pieces together. How much longer do you think this can go on until something finally just collapses?
That's right. That's the big question, Don, because clearly, this is a very detailed operation, and it's very involved, and it's going to trip them up.
It's very complicated, isn't it? You know, by design. Just to hide what they're doing. But, you know, I've stayed on this from the time I first heard Leo Wanta on the radio, and I listened to the man, and, you know, I do have spiritual discernment, and the man, for all intents and purposes, sounded like he was telling the truth. And I began my own research, my own investigation into this, and the more I found, the more what he was saying rang true. In fact, I can find more cases where the government is actually doing these things and he's telling the truth than I can say, well, he's exaggerating or he's lying. And he would have a lot of reasons to lie, but it was the fact that he'd always told the truth that probably kept him alive.
Could very well be. Now, getting back to Brzezinski, Don.
Well, Brzezinski is part of the same group, and he plays a role in the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. You have to ask yourself, where did these people just appear all of a sudden? I mean, they didn't grow. You don't grow up here in the United States and retain a Russian accent or a Polish accent or a German accent. In fact, I'm told Kissinger's accent is a phony German accent. That when he speaks with that's actually phony.
That's something, because he is. He's more Eastern European, right?
Yes.
Right.
And again, you know, they like to compartmentalize their relationships by referring to the Israelis as the Jewish people, when in reality we're speaking about Zionists who masqueraded as Judeo-Christians or Judeans, maybe Hebrew, okay? Not necessarily Christians, but from the original Judean stock that occupied the Holy Lands. And it wasn't until 1948 that Israel became a country. And I suspect that Baron von Rothschild was the one that really promoted that whole movement. And he installed his own, what they're determining is going to be the International Court of Justice right there in Jerusalem, this cross-shaped building that's the Hall of Justice there for the State of Israel. Reeks of again, you know, the financial controllers of the Illuminati families at every stage, putting their money in there and just getting their bidding done. Now, these people masquerade as being Jewish so that every time we open our mouth and we speak about Jews, the regular Hasidic Jew is the one that's being singled out, where these are phonies.
Yes, they're hiding behind that as a good cover, so they can deflect any attack as racist.
Yes, or hate speech, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, what were you going to say about Brzezinski? I took up a lot of your time there. So.
Well, I was just wondering if he had something new on him where he was more involved with this Wanta story.
I would suspect that somewhere behind the scenes, many of these people are. You know, you don't hear Kissinger's name mentioned in respect to this, but you hear about Greenspan. Greenspan was reported to have been arrested. Paulson was arrested. Now, these things were confirmed. Paulson's arrest took place in Germany, and it took place at a time. In fact, it took place December 23rd of 2006. And his arrest was not reported by the mainstream media, yet it was all over the web. And you know, this is not conspiracy theorists talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Merkel was involved in it as well. Now, she recently, in the last few months, and I think it was around Thanksgiving, spent a weekend at the president's Caldwell, Texas ranch, ironing out how they were going to manipulate these funds. And instantly, when you see this, you know to be watching that something's going to take place over there in Germany. Now you have Sarkozy in France. He's a Hungarian. A Hungarian Jew is now the president of France. They're doing the same thing with the countries that they do here in the United States, where someone grows up in a state, and I don't care if they grew up in Arkansas, and then they enter public office in Arkansas, and they spend their whole career there. There's nothing wrong with them going to Washington if the job takes them to Washington. But you've got people born in Nebraska that move to Wyoming, and then they buy a house in Texas, and they figure out where they're going to move them so that they have all their bases covered. In each state, they have the candidate they want. They have the guy that's going to play ball, the guy that's going to perpetuate the corruption.
That's right.
And link everybody else together.
That's right. They've turned it all into a major racket, and they've got it down into one elaborate system.
You know, it, yes, and it would be like a mob family in New York sending one of the sons to Chicago and one to Miami and one to Boston and one to Seattle and one to Los Angeles, and then they do their business. They conduct their business as one entity.
That's exactly what how they operate, but they are the real mob, and the other mobsters are little gangsters compared to these real mobsters.
Yes, they're carrying out their hits. They're doing their bagman work for them.
Yep.
They're doing their extortion and their intimidation and all of that.
Right.
For the most part, they allow others to take the fall for what they do. And if it gets too hot for them in the kitchen, so to speak, what do? They get another one to take out the one that's a liability or a potential liability.
Yeah.
That's why Vince Foster was murdered.
Exactly.
Vince Foster knew too much. Vince Foster was in a lot of trouble.
He was stressed.
Because of the Rose Law Firm and the Madison Guarantee, Whitewater, this Children's Defense Fund, there were other issues that haven't even surfaced yet.
Right.
But then you have identity theft, you have the theft of master files, and nobody does anything about this.
You know, just on top of all that, the little stress of his guilty conscience cheating on his wife the whole time, that had to be weighing on him to some degree, too, not being fulfilling his oath as a, you know, a family man, probably as a father and all that. That probably was underneath it all, on top of all the heavy stress coming in from all the Clinton stuff that he had to keep under wraps, keep a lid on it. And the pressure was coming down on him, right? Things were unraveling. And sure enough, they felt it was time to take him out.
Do you really? I'm not challenging what you said. But, I mean, this is basically a remark. Do you really think that he had a conscience about what he was doing behind his wife's back? I mean, while she's in the other room with a lesbian?
No, I'm talking about Vince Foster.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Clinton.
No. He has no conscience at all.
Okay. I stand corrected on that.
Vince Foster had all the stress that he was dealing with before they decided that they couldn't trust him anymore, and they figured they better terminate him. Out of all the stress, underneath it all was probably that stress of his unfulfilling his marriage oath to his wife, as well as being a good father to his kids. And so it was probably all coming together at the same time, and they were afraid that he couldn't contain and handle it all, so they did him in.
Yeah. Now, I can tell by your clear thinking and your recall of many of these events that you eat well. This is sort of a segue here. you are looking at, holistic approaches to preventing disease and just maintaining well-being in general.
Betcha. And a healthy body is a healthy mind, and a healthy mind's a healthy body. It's a two-way street, and you have to take care of both simultaneously. And when you do, the rewards are great, because, yes, your memory is very sharp. And my real approach, Don, would be the concept of the body is a temple, and when it's treated like a temple, then it's just an incredible home that has all kinds of abilities and so much potential. And so if everybody were to learn to treat their body that way, they'd all be a lot happier.
Now, when you say temple, you're not speaking of any particular denomination, are you?
Oh, not at all. I'm speaking literally as the temple of God created by God.
I understand that.
Man-made structures are just mortal things, but the human, the life itself, and the body's made of clay, fashioned from the earth, and given the spark of life by the Almighty. Now, there's a real temple, and in a real temple that, by design, but unfortunately, easily destroyed in this world we're born into, because nobody teaches us these things.
Mm-hmm. And this is you and I talk about this a lot. We talk about the various diseases that are going around. There's a bad case of the flu going around the country now, and it's I'm told by those that have gotten it that it's devastating. And I encourage people to contact you. In fact, they're on my case about getting some stuff up on my website. So you know where we stand there.
Yes, sir, Don, and I thank you for all that, and I'm going to follow up with that ASAP.
And the next time you're on, I want to do a show just on the herbs. And, you know, this is important. You know, people are still drinking tap water. It never ceases to amaze me. Even when they order bottled water, they ask for a glass of ice.
Yes.
Where do they think the ice is made?
Don, you just hit it. Where do they think? They're not thinking.
Yeah.
See, that they dropped the ball. They're not thinking. And, Don, we'll get into it for sure. I look forward to it because it's critical that everybody also learns about the truth of how easy it is to stay healthy. Like, I never get sick, Don. Thank God. I never get sick, and everybody that's known me for years and years and years, 10, 20 years or more, and they never see me sick. And it's easy because when you treat the body like a temple, keep it clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. People think that means make sure you wash your hands before you eat and take a bath every day or something, but it's all about keeping the temple clean on the inside.
Yeah.
Right. And no matter how dirty you are on the outside, as long as the temple's clean on the inside, you'll always be super healthy. No infections, nothing can ever get to you.
Well, people sometimes wait until the last minute, like they are with, you know, many of these problems that we're talking about. And I want to encourage people, you know, part of the process of awakening and taking responsibility and doing things about this knowledge that we're sharing tonight on this show and on other shows is that, you know, everything centers around you. In that you are living inside your body and you're having the experiences that you're having in your life, and they relate to every other experience that's going on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And to reach our highest level of consciousness and our highest level of experience, it would behoove us to know ourselves and to spend some time getting to know ourselves and getting to know God. And if you didn't know God to some extent, or even think that there is a creator that made all the wondrous things that we call life, then, you know, this is an opportunity to awaken to that. And as you awaken to that, you are going to see all the things that are going on that we're talking about very clearly. And you'll feel better about yourself understanding that we do have some challenges, and that turning away from them or denying them is not the solution. Just like what you're saying. You're saying take care of the temple. You know, get a broom and sweep it out. You know, get the dustpan and collect the dust and throw it out. Get rid of it. Clean out the body. And you'll end up cleaning out your mind. And then you're going to make contact with higher intelligence, with the spirit. And you're going to begin to see with spiritual eyes and not the eyes of the boob tube.
Well, you see, Don, that's so true. And the beauty of it is it's an individual thing. And that's what's so wonderful about the Founding Fathers with the Constitutional Republic. They were into individualism. God is into individualism. Only the commies and the devil worshippers are into communism. It's all about individualism, that personal relationship with the Almighty. And you can't get it anywhere else. It happens within you. So you're so right, Don, and that's why our good Lord instructed us when the rich man came to him and said, Lord, I gave away all my wealth. Now what do I have to do to enter heaven? And what did the Lord say? Man, know thyself. Study yourself. Figure yourself out. Discover what you are and what you are not, and then you'll be able to make it to heaven. And so what we are, of course, is a beautiful creation by the Almighty. And what we are not is a robot, an automaton, something that can be void of expression. That's what we're not. And so if you want to live in the current system with the TV and the radio, that's what they're going to make you become, a robot with very little emotion and very little thought activity. But when you discover your real nature, which is a divine nature, and it's immortal, then you're going to discover a creative power flowing into you that's going to make you so productive that you'll never get over it, and you'll always be happy.
Yeah, well, those are good closing comments. We're out of time. Actually, we went over a little bit. I'd like to thank Seth Hendrick, our engineer tonight, for a wonderful job, and Don Newsom for making the show possible. And we have a new radio show in Los Angeles, so check out the BBS website for all that information there. I can tell Don's real excited about it, and I'm sure once we all get to participate, we will all be excited about it. And I'll be talking about that on the news later on this afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 Eastern. I will be hosting the TNT News Hour and probably talking about a lot of things that are going on with these primary elections around the country, as well as updates on the voter fraud. In the meantime, I want to give a quick shout-out, Michael, if I may do so, to Marianne in Arkansas, Rick in Colorado, Karen, Bob, Bill, also Jack, restate that, Zachariah, Crenshaw, Sheila, and Jill, and the General, as well as all my friends in California, Florida, Vance, Peter, Maria, Josie, all you guys, we love you, and thanks for listening to the show tonight. Michael, I hope to have you back again soon. And we're
thank you, Dad, for inviting me back on. It's been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
And we're going to talk about herbs next time. So
I look forward to it.
In the meantime, folks, thanks for listening in. You've been listening to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff, and our special guest tonight was Michael Anthony. And please check out my website, directlightproductions.com, for the latest news updates, as well as some podcasts and some music, in case that's what you like. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Bye now.
Radio.com.